Hi, it's Rob Brown here with the Accounting Influencers Podcast, continuing with our series of debates with top of the tree leaders, influencers, experts, people that really care about the future of accounting. That's what we're discussing today. We're looking at the future focused. What is the outlook for accounting? We have an esteemed panel today. They're going to introduce themselves in just a moment. And we are talking about not just what is happening right now in accounting, but what is coming up. We're in the midst of huge change. There is lots going on, some threats, some opportunities. So the panel are going to introduce themselves. I'm going to start with Gary Boomer. Gary, do you just want to say a quick hello and tell us what you do?
Well, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending upon where you're located. I'm Gary Boomer, founder of Boomer Consulting. We're based in Kansas City, Missouri, originally in Manhattan, and that's Manhattan, Kansas, not Manhattan, New York. But we have about 20 consultants that work in the accounting profession, and our focus is on inspiring people in the profession to meet their vision.
Thank you, Gary. You deal with firms of all sizes as well, big and small. And I know you're involved in a lot of strategic decisions at board level with those firms to inform them at various levels. So that's great. Val, welcome. Quick intro from you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good day, everyone. And my background is I am a CPA, came up in the accounting tech industry, founding partner of K2 Enterprises years ago. I should mention I actually started with Deloitte. I loved Deloitte. Just couldn't get those guys to move quick enough. To be honest with you, if they had listened at one time, we would have beat Arthur Andersen to the big consulting deal years of, if they had listened at that time. Currently, though, I actually am a director of marketing for a cloud SaaS software solution called Zoho. They were one of our clients at K2, and I fell in love with their vision, their direction, all that. And at another time, we'll talk all about that.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate that. Sarah, lovely to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you very much, Rob. And hello to everybody, wherever you're listening from. I am Sarah Beale. I'm the CEO of AAT. That's the Association of Accounting Technicians. We have about 125,000 members and students worldwide. And we're here to make sure that people can learn and businesses have access to accountants, that's accounting technicians and bookkeepers, with real world ready skills.
Super. And I say with no shame at all that it's wonderful you're here just to provide some diversity in our panel. These are random, the way we set them up, Sarah. But we probably, as gentlemen, represent a certain demographic. So it is wonderful to have you here. Bob Lewis, you've been in this game a long time. A quick intro from you, sir.
I'm the founder of the Visionary Group. We've been doing work exclusively with accounting firms for over 25 years, coming on 30, which you can then carbon date me on that statement. we do a lot of work in merger and acquisition in this industry. We're very, very deeply involved right now in the PE sector and what's happening. We act as a fractional chief operating officer for a lot of accounting firms across the country to help them roll out their plans. And we're really pushing hard for these firms to open more and more into the advisory sector, because that is where this industry is heading, in my opinion. But thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, one and all. Val, I'm going to start with you on this first question. Let's look at the now. If we're going to talk about the future, we need to chart where we are right now. If you're looking at a map and you have a destination, you need to know where you're starting from. So how would you describe what kind of shape we're in right now in the accounting world?
Well, I think we're, in many ways, I think we're really in good shape, to be honest with you. I think there's a few concerns I think we're going to land on based on your talking points we've got coming up. You know, certainly. And it's nothing new that technology is pushing the accounting profession and pushing people that are more forward-leaning to adopt things and move stuff forward. I think we're actually in decent shape. I don't see us running around saying the sky's falling, you know, it's the end of the world. But I think people need to wake up. I think every firm out there, every firm needs to wake up, look around and say, okay, where are we going to be in 5 years? I mean, these people like Bob Lewis and Gary that are telling them where they need to be and what they need to be doing, they need to listen right now to what's going on out there.
Yeah, thank you for that. Gary, what about you? Where are we at right now?
Well, I think we're in a period of transformation, but the profession has always been in a period of transformation. The only thing that has changed is it's happening faster, and the impact of AI PE and change management are all coming together. So this convergence is really important for our profession. And we've got to take ownership of that as influencers and help inspire and guide the next generation into the profession.
We are definitely going to look at some of those things, Gary, because one of the questions on my list today is, where are the biggest threats to accounting as we know it coming from? And you've all got some perspective on that. Sarah, where do you feel we're at right now in accounting?
I think we're at the apex of the most change from every single angle. So we're a stable profession. We're a well-respected profession. Absolutely. But I think that the level of change from every angle at the moment needs really careful consideration, from the breadth of the role of the accountant, how that's changing, the economic climate. We've swung towards globalization and now we're pulling back from that a little bit. Regulatory uncertainty around all the new things in terms of cryptocurrency and AI, and a huge talent shortage, which is a massive opportunity for us in terms to really inspire and change the perception of the industry. And I think the technological advances that are frankly already here are probably bigger than the internet in terms of the change that's going to have for us, which is exciting and potentially scary all at once.
Yeah, Bob, you're at the scary end of a lot of change going on with firms shifting and jurisdiction shifting. Where do you think we're at right now?
I think the industry, and specifically firm by firm, are at major inflection points. What are we anymore? Are we tax, accounting, and audit professionals, or are we advisors that also provide the core services that have been happening all along? The investments people are having to make in people, like outsourcing is a great example, the technology points that Sarah is bringing up. This is too much for a lot of firms to handle. And that whole shift to advisory, they're not trained for it. So I think the position, the industry is in a great spot. The labor market's changed. The culture of the people in the new labor market are different than the ones that are exiting. But the big wild card to me is the aging baby boomers. I mean, the average baby boomer is like 67 now, 68. Mm-hmm. They own a lot of these companies. They're trying to figure out, how do we transition? And if I've got a labor force that doesn't want to necessarily buy or own, that complicates some more, which now we've got PE in there. And that's changed the whole market values. And we talk about that later. That's a fascinating thing that's happening right now. I tell you what, if I was a younger professional, I'd jump right into this industry because it is extremely profitable and full of a ton of opportunity. But
yeah, I agree with that. Well stated, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not a younger professional, unfortunately. But you know, that's the thing when you invent, Rob, is the ability to give me back, buy back 30 years. That could be very valuable.
Well, we'd all invest in that.
We are. If only we knew now. Don't they say experience is the comb that life gives you after you've gone bald? So something like that. Sarah, let me ask you this next question. What happens if we don't change? The consensus among the panel here is that we are in a period of transformation and flux. But accountants, double entry bookkeeping's been ever thus. Debits and credits. Accountants are not known for changing. What happens if we don't change and we don't take notice of what's going on?
This has been going on for a lot of years, Bob. Rob. Sorry, we got Bob and Rob here. This is going to be good today. This has been going on, for quite a while. There are firms that evolve and change, and then some that just kind of fade away. And that's what's going to happen. Your client base is going to be leaving. Your talent's going to be leaving. Your leadership will leave. And if you don't kind of have a plan of the future where you kind of want to be and migrate to that plan and get somewhere, then it's just, you're not going to disappear overnight. You've got clients that love you. And that's what keeps us in business. Mm-hmm. It's that relationship that everybody has with all these clients. But it's just this fade away thing. In fact, sadly, I saw a pretty good sized firm just recently, instead of promoting somebody within and giving some other young accountant a chance to become partner, they actually brought in an outside person, an operational person, to try to optimize their internal operations. Now, I don't mind that, but I do mind that they took away a partner position that they should have handed to somebody else to keep them in the firm, the industry. And that move, to me, if you don't make strong moves, I think what you signal to a lot of the people down the chain in your firm is there's no place for you here. And I'll bet you over the next few years, they lose a lot of people.
Yeah. As you said, Val, it's a wake-up call. Sarah, it's a fight for relevance. What happens if we don't change?
It's absolutely, and relevance is the right word that I think we're all using at the moment. I would say, though, that I think the profession has shown a willingness to change. You know, there was a time when we didn't have accounting software, we didn't even have spreadsheets. And, you know, there was a time where genuinely accountants were seen as sitting number crunching with their ledger and not doing anything beyond that. And I think that's all changed. In reality, I think the industry has changed with it. But I do think the pace of change now is immense. And I think that one of the things is the perception of us as a profession. You know, we've got to make sure that people don't see us as stuffy, non-inclusive, et cetera, because there's an absolute war for talent. And unless we attract that generation who see accounting as a really pivotal profession that makes businesses hum, that we're not going to get the talent that we need to sustain us for the future, and we'll just become less and less relevant over time.
Yeah. Bob, you're probably dealing with the firms that are changing better, they're digitizing, they're becoming sellable, very profitable. Revenue per partner is probably right up there. But there are many firms that are not changing. I saw a stat recently that only 30% of accounting firms in the UK automate bank feeds and get that direct data in from banking from their clients. So it shows that there's a lot still to change. What do you feel will happen to firms that don't change?
Well, I want to add on to what Sarah said too on this, because perception is really the key. So look, if we're going to keep hammering out that you just need to do tax returns and you need to do audits and you need to do accounting, which by the way is never going to go away. But the perception, which is what Sarah said, is key. So if I'm a younger professional and I believe all that's going to get wiped clean because of AI, what's my skill set going to look like when I'm 35? I won't have one. So we need to change the perception of what we actually do as a firm. And it is all along, all these firms do, they really do advisory. They just don't necessarily market it that way. It's kind of bad PR. And if you really want to push the envelope a little bit, Ron, tell me if I've got a good tax account. I have absolutely no way to gauge the quality of that professional. I have no idea if their advice is any good because it's way over my head.
Yeah.
So what I'm buying is a relationship, back to what Val talked about, perception. And that's what we need to be selling more, to drag in the right talent, because where Gary Boomer's been going for a long time is helping these people really figure out how to be more consultative, granted more of the technology slant, but that's where this industry is all at. And we just need to change the script, maybe would be a better way to phrase that. So
yeah,
I don't know, that's my thoughts on that. But
Gary, if the profession doesn't change, if firms don't change, if accountants don't change, or they're slow to do so, what's going to happen?
They're going to be out of business. There's really two type of firms out there. There's the firm that's embracing AI and the future, and then there's the firm that'll be out of business within the next, I used to say 5 years, but things are happening so fast now, I think it could be a shorter period of time. And the fact that many of the partners are older in the firms. One of the things that I've really seen is that those outside of the profession value the profession higher than those inside the profession. And you're seeing proof of that it's globally. It's not just here in the U.S. In fact, the U.K. was way ahead of us here in the U.S. with multidisciplinary firms and also private equity. And private equity is driving the value of these firms up, as is AI, and it's a great opportunity, but this is a team sport. It's not for rugged individualists, and I believe that originally when I got into the profession, rugged individualists were the ones that tended to win. Today, it's what kind of team can you put together? Mm-hmm. What type of vision do you have? How's your plan accepted by people? And then who are the people? And they're not all CPAs. And that's where I think Sarah comes in, is very important here. It's a team event. We don't go out and hire 5 CPAs or accountants to run a major corporation. We hire a team of professionals that have multidisciplinary knowledge and expertise.
I'm curious to know, where the threats are coming from. Who's going to eat the accountant's lunch? If it is a fight for relevance, the vendors could be them, could be software and tech that eats up accountants. It could be, I don't know, it could be consultants, advisors, coaches that are encroaching, wealth managers, financial advisors that are seeping into the accountant's world. Who might be, Bob, in your view, the biggest threats to accountants or the profession generally?
We've gotten very, very deeply involved in the private equity sector, which, by the way, I was very against when it first came out. But yeah. Now it's right for the right people. What I did learn from private equity so far is that most of us aren't really good managers. Okay, we manage, we rise to the top through whatever our firms are. We don't manage the way like a private equity. When private equity comes, they manage it more like a business. We manage it more like a family. So there's more emotional element. Now, private equity has an emotional component to it too, because I realize it's just not that hard. But I think one of the things that the biggest competitors are going to be, or the biggest threats to this industry, is the independent thinking of how I should just run my firm the way I want to do it. And back to what Gary was talking about, and Sarah, everyone's talking the same thing. It is a team effort anymore. That's why so many of these firms are doing M&A work, because they can't make the investments in technology. They can't manage the people stuff. They don't know how to take it to the next level. And I think those are the people that are consolidators that are coming in now, are going to run these places. And then you're going to see a subgrouping of niching of people come out that are going to go, okay, I'm going to carve out this niche or this industry, or this sector. I think that's where it's all going to go. But you know what? The fun part about this is we just don't know. Even me, being the visionary that I am with my title, does not know where this is going to go. So,
Val, who do you think is going to pull the rug out from accountants? Is it AI? Is it automation? Is it tech? Who's going to make them more irrelevant if they're not careful?
Well, you know, it's not going to be AI or tech. No, those are just tools that are going to enable what the accountants do to do it better. And, you know, especially ones that adopt it, like Gary's talking about. These firms will reach out and get better at what they do and add stuff. They're going to be the winners. Who's going to pull it from underneath them is themselves. It's the firms that don't move forward and don't take care of stuff and leave the market open. And who's going to fill that gap? You know, it could be accounting conglomerates. It could be businesses just hire a bunch of accountants. You know, last year, my eyes were sincerely opened by the Canadian Bookkeepers Association, the professional bookkeepers in Canada. And I think there's also a group in the UK. These people are very serious and they take it very serious and they are thriving. Let me tell you, their association, their group, their whole area, they are thriving and their clients love them and they're doing great. You know, so, you know, there's groups out there that are on the ball, have it. And like I say, I think the threat is probably more internal of the firms that just don't do anything, fade and lose clients and kind of fall off the mark. I don't think you can actually have a separate type of a person like, you know, maybe a bunch of business consultants or maybe a group of attorneys form some kind of accounting thing, try to come in. I don't know that they could really compete with that trusted advisor. You know, people look to accountants as trusted advisors for a reason, because they know they care about their clients. That's the only thing that keeps us in the game, folks, is that trust and that appreciation that clients have for accountants.
Yeah, Gary, I'll come to you on this. Accountants have an elegant business model. They get paid every month, every year. Their service is required by law. It's mandated by regulation. That keeps them in the game and that keeps them relevant. But increasingly, we're seeing that a focus on historical figures is not adding value to clients. They do, as Val said, need to be better, proactive, future-focused advisors. Where do you feel the threats are coming from for accountants?
Well, I'll answer your previous question in one word. I think the threat is from entrepreneurs.
Right.
Period. Now, let's go to how you create value. And there's three ways you create values: through leadership, relationships, and creativity. And any entrepreneur that understands the challenges of the profession right now can step in and provide solutions and value to those clients. And it's not the lack of technical skills. It's lack of the client experience. It's lack of not asking questions. In other words, our profession is so used to providing answers that great consultants are the ones that can ask questions. And I would throw advisors in there too, because they have to build that relationship. So I think whomever can add value here, because much of what we do is not regulated by license. And therefore, I think we really have to focus on this client experience and building the team to provide the solutions. I tell many of our firms that if you solve the problems in your own firm, you've just developed the new service line for all of your clients out there, because most accounting firms, excluding probably the big four, are really small business, and they have the same issues as their clients. And so if they solve those problems, I think they're going to have to focus. So I think they can't be all things to all people. Industry niches are certainly prevalent here, and I think globally. So those are just some of the thoughts around how they can remain relevant.
Yeah.
Just ask the right questions.
Robin, Sarah, let's drop to you on this, Sarah, to finish this one off. I heard a statistic yesterday that 60% of the world will vote this year on major political upheaval in their countries. That's phenomenal. And against that economic uncertain backdrop, there are many threats to accounting right now. Where are they coming from for you, so that accountants can't just think it's all set fair for them, the weather is fantastic, everything's going to be great by them doing the same things?
Oh, wow, that's some statistic. I didn't realize that. That's quite impressive. I actually totally, notly agree with Val, and I thought I was going to be quite out there by making a comment that I think the biggest threat to our profession and other professions is the profession itself.
Right.
So I think, you know, technological advances, we all know that they're coming in. Do I believe that AI is going to replace human beings? Absolutely not. But I think there's a common phrase saying now, AI with humans using AI will replace humans not using AI. So let's not wait till it advances. Let's make sure that we're developing those skills, developing the technology to actually maximize it. Because the flip side to any threat is a huge opportunity. In the UK, we've just predicted we're going to be 50,000 accountants short of what we need by 2050. AI is a brilliant tool, therefore, to help shorten that gap if we ready ourselves with the technology, if we make sure that we address the talent shortage by developing the power skills that we need. I think somebody's just mentioned it. It's not just about the technical knowledge anymore and the ethical behaviors, which are, you know, absolutely hardwired. We need to be creative, have leadership, brilliant communication skills. We need to really develop all those. And if we don't, the broadening role of the accountant, which is what's needed, no longer the number crunching, far more about the advisory relationship and really trusted partner to business. That's what will be the threat, because we're not ready to address that economic challenge, the regulatory challenge. But flip side is absolutely huge opportunity. And I think Bob said, I would have no problem telling my friend's children that this is a fantastic profession to come into. And that actually the difference you can make is much, much bigger than you think it is from your very narrow perception of what an accountant is. So let's change that perception and let's get people to see that accountants have a huge impact to economies, to business, and to social and economic values.
Well, let's deep dive on that. Let's talk about the brand of the profession. Gary, you mentioned earlier that this is a team game. So the question I'm asking is, whose responsibility is it to brand the profession, to be the PR, to be the voice box? You are all very committed, caring people. You've served this profession for a long time and it has served you very well. And you're passionate about it. But Gary, whose job is it to make sure the accounting profession is relevant and future ready? It's well branded.
Well, I think there's a lot of players here, or stakeholders in the game. And what I don't want to do is focus or play the blame game. What I want to do is look for the influencers in the future. And Of course, we have the professional associations throughout the world, and the AICPA here in the U.S. has definitely been one. NASBA is another one. And normally, regulators are behind the curve and with their regulation, and I think that's certainly true today. But I think we all are responsible, and we could go to the university level and all the things that are coming out about universities today, what they're teaching, whether that is really relevant, the advantage of a university over a trade school. You know, I think there's a lot of different components here in education. But I'll go back to the 150-hour rule. I don't think we taught enough economics, marketing, and sales in the accounting profession, because accountants can teach the accounting to the people coming in. But if we're going to require that, then I think there has to be a much better understanding of money and economic systems. And that's all changing today. And I think marketing sales is going to be more important to our profession going forward than it's ever been in the past. And I could probably go on and on, but others have certainly perspectives here that I respect. And I think our audience needs to hear those.
Sure. Bob, let's come to you. Whose job is it to brand the profession and make it attractive?
I was hoping I was next on the calendar, because I'm going to fall right through with Gary. Okay. So I think we have a mixed set of responsibilities. If you look at the top, I'm just going to go right to the AICPA, which is in the American Institute, at least. We have a national, we have a global footprint here.
Yeah.
They've got a mission, and their charter is regulatory focused as well as balancing the profession. That's a tough mission. If I go all the way down to the individual firm is looking at how do we service the clients and what do we need to do for them? So the problem we have a little bit with leadership is there maybe everyone is in alignment with what their missions are, and they're serving their own mission, but that's their mission. And I don't blame them. It's the right thing to do because you need these checks and balances. I think one of the things that I can't remember which of the panelists said this, it may have been Gary talking about the client experience, I believe.
Yeah.
We have this thing called C3. Okay. Dangerously close to C4, which is an explosive, but no, we're going to stick with C3. Okay. So C3 is clients create the culture. And I think what's happening here inside firms is firms are holding on to too many clients they no longer can afford to support properly. Therefore, that's impacting how the staff skills are, how the staff's retention is, and that whole shift and movement, the transformation about going back to being an entrepreneur, and Gary's point about lack of selling and marketing skills. Why would firms right now have to do any kind of marketing when work is coming right to them? And the problem we've created, this has been a 20-year problem. So now we've got 40-year-old professionals who have no professional network and they can't sell. How are those people going to lead? And I think that's part of the transformational gap we're going to see getting changed. But again, to me, this is just a really fascinating world we're in right now.
Yeah.
But the money's good. Everybody's making great money. That's the hard part. One of the things in economics, back to what Kerry had mentioned, or Rob, what you mentioned about economics, until I feel the pain, I may not necessarily want to make the change. If I get comfortable with my compensation, I may just continue to go along. We see that a lot in firms.
Well, there's some pain coming up, sir.
They're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Oh, yeah.
They're leaving a lot of money on the table, which really needs to go to the future development of their people and their technology. And I can't leave out processes, because one of the problems is we try to throw more people at this. If you don't have good processes, it's very difficult to embrace technology and really benefit from it.
Sarah, if we're talking about the attractiveness of the profession, the brand of the profession, whose responsibility is it to do the PR job on accounting?
I'm at risk of sounding like an echo chamber. So it's a collaborative effort, right? And I think all players need to be really prepared to properly reimagine what that future might be like and then put steps in place to embrace it. So, you know, accounting organizations and professional bodies like we do, we play a crucial role in making sure that the standards and guidelines, we promote the profession as a whole, and we do the continuous lifelong learning to make sure that skills are updated. But awarding bodies and training providers, they need to make sure that they include relevant technology so that the things that people are going to use when they hit the floor, so that employers see them as really value add from day one. I think firms or businesses need to invest in people, invest in the skills and the upskilling, but also be really open to new routes to come in. I think somebody mentioned universities and you know, there's some Save the Student research in the UK last year that showed, you know, the average cost of a university student was £57,000. But actually, if that individual had gone on to an apprenticeship and earned while they learnt, they would have been earning between £21,000 and £23,000 every year that were there, and then hit the ground running and then walked into a 30K job in the UK. So I think we need to embrace different ways of getting into the profession. And I think professionals themselves. So, you know, we at AAT, we've got some fabulous ambassadors who actually go out there to the talent that we need, not just the young generation, but those that are interested in career changes. And they're the best people to sell it. They are the success of the industry, living that dream. And they can say, you know, you can be me with this effort in a really rewarding career. So I think, you know, we've all got a role to play.
Yeah. Val, the problem with it saying it's everybody's job to brand the profession is everyone thinks everyone else is going to do it. So it's not necessarily coordinated, or people get a little bit complacent thinking someone else is going to pick up the slack. Who's on the front line, if you like, to brand the accounting profession? Or who could make the biggest difference even?
It's a very good question. Let me back up just a hair and just give you one opinion on one term.
Yep.
I really don't like the term future ready. Let me explain why.
Sure.
Too many people, too many organizations out there have sold a bag of goods based on future ready. They've sold product, they've sold stuff, and there is no product you can buy and be future ready. Future ready is not a product, it's a process. Gary's got that right. If your firm has really good processes, and let me give you an example. Right now, what should firms be doing right now? Work. Their heads down. They're buried right now. Okay? Come April, May, good process firms, they come out of that. They go take vacation. They come back. They need to start immediately evaluating their processes and saying what worked, what didn't. How can we improve all of our services? What tools do we need to upgrade? Where do we need to be? You know, and to be honest with you, groups like Boomer Circles and stuff and other groups, those are great places for firms to go learn and share, and they should be. We should be helping each other. Now, who should be out front leading the way? I've got some pretty strong opinions on that, to be honest with you. The American, it's not American anymore, Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, once known as the American Institute of CPAs, should be out front and leading the way with the right direction. Now, I've had some questions on their direction, okay? And I think they need to be out there and leading the right direction with a lot of the things we've talked about today. Firms should really be improving, you know, producing, sharing, doing. State societies need to also be leading the way. Now, I've seen more of fault there in recent years than I have at your national organizations. I think they have, many of these state CPA societies and state societies have quit doing their job, to be honest with you. They've just pretty much quit. NASBA should be leading the way. And to be honest with you, and this is where we're going to get into that 150-hour thing a little bit, because you know, I've got a bone to pick there. I don't care which way you go. I'm just going to state my position clearly here. I don't care if you stay with 150 hours, but if you're going to stay with 150 hours, I'm a baby of the 150-hour program. And I loved it. I loved getting my master's degree. I loved that extra learning. That extra learning and extra development for me in finance, especially in the finance area, the advanced finance classes that we had to take as masters of accounting, that really has helped me in my career many times over. Okay. So if you want to stay with 150 hours, great, but then keep it even. Don't allow the international folks coming in to pass the exam with 120 hours when you're holding the domestic accountants to 150. That is flat out discrimination, and it's wrong, And we need to have a discussion on that. I tried to light this up with organizations, and I had the head of one big organization tell me, there's no discussion on that. You know what? There's a failure right there. There should be a discussion on this, and we should solve this.
Well, we won't solve it in the time we've got, but let's raise the question, how fit is an accounting qualification for purpose? I'm a former high school math teacher. I'm a part-qualified accountant, so I'm comfortable with the numbers, but we have some accountants on this panel right now. When you look at the CPA qualifications, the chartered accountant qualifications, the different routes to whatever accreditation, Sarah, let's start with you. How fit are accounting qualifications for the modern world?
So I guess I would say this, wouldn't I? But for today, and I'm thinking about AAT's qualifications, AAT's qualifications are based on what employers tell us and firms tell us that their employees need. So I think the ability that we give our students when they walk into a job to hit the ground running with the real world skills, the practical skills that they can put into place and then continuously learn are absolutely bang on. We're told that. We're told it's, you know, we give people the best start. However, when we're starting to think of tomorrow, and I'm thinking about that future ready statement value, you know, more of a mindset than an actual product or an outcome. But for tomorrow, to make sure that qualifications remain relevant, we need to continually evolve them, continually check what businesses and accountant firms need, and we need to change what we're learning and how we're learning it. So when we launched our last product set, our last qualification set, employers told us, actually, the students are coming out with brilliant technical skills, but actually, we want you to dial up ethics, which they felt was falling behind, their communication skills, their digital skills, and their skills and knowledge around sustainability. And that's what we've done. But that is an iterative process to make sure that what we spit out in terms of qualified people and members still meet the needs of economies and businesses. So I think we need to keep pace with that. So the short answer is, are we doing what is needed right now? I believe certainly AAT are, and I would say that. But I think that would become out of date exceptionally quickly if what we didn't do was evolve our training and evolve how we're training people for a different need and different purpose, which is just around the corner.
Yeah. Bob, I'm just thinking back to my days as a mathematics teacher, and I'd been maybe teaching algebra. And the kids would rightly ask me, so why are we learning algebra? How are we going to use this in real life? And they're absolutely right. Unless you're going to become a mathematician or an engineer or something, it's highly unlikely that in a classroom of 30 children, you will be the one that will need algebra. So let me put the question to you. How appropriate and fit for purpose are accounting qualifications these days?
To be clear, that was to me, right?
Okay. This to you.
Okay. So look, I think what we do isn't as technically detailed as maybe some of the others on this panel, but my perception on this is there's just too much focus on the technical and not enough about, I'll go back to what Gary had said and what others said, the entrepreneurial, the selling skills, the marketing skills, the running a business component of it.
The strategic stuff, maybe.
Well, look, it's interesting because we see one of the comments that Val made about the state CPA societies. We spoke with 15 of them last year. Okay. It's our first run at the state societies. And unfortunately, a lot of people were just there to get CPE. Didn't care what kind of CPE. I was there to get CPE.
Ticking a box, right?
Yeah. So if we've got a whole bunch of people that are just chasing CPE to get, you know, keep their licensing current, are they getting the right kind of training? And I think that's really what it comes down to with even the credentialing is, we're too heavily focused on the technical. And I understand the pull. The pull is we need to make sure people are technically competent, but there's got to be more balance. And I think that's what's maybe missing in that right now in this whole equation. It's not enough balance. And I'll be honest with you, with all the M&A work we do, we talk to these firms, especially I'll use the smaller firms, which are like, you know, 10, 15 people or less. There's nobody beneath them to take their firms over. And it's because they've had been working and nobody's out developing. Nobody's growing. But they're all making money though. That's again back to the money issues. You know, the pain becomes a lot more aware when you start making less money.
Yeah.
And until that happens, I don't know if we're going to see a lot of material change.
We get that. Where is the burning platform for change? Val, what's your take on qualifications? You've mentioned a little bit about the 150 hours. That's very much an American thing. But generally, accounting qualifications, do they work for you? Do they teach professionals what they need to know these days?
You know, I really think you could look back and say, maybe we could make some adjustments to it. I wouldn't want to throw the whole thing out, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. I'd say the process is okay. I think it certainly could be enhanced. We've known that for years, that a lot of the skills and things could be enhanced. But let me take it back to your algebra argument with those students. What you were actually teaching them was how to think, not necessarily that they're going to use algebra in the future, but to forcing their minds around concepts and issues of how to think and how to problem solve. I would say that's some of the biggest things that I would love to see in our profession. More courses to help these young accountants and educate them on even how to think on how do I go out and find new business, okay? Because like Gary mentioned, and Bob mentioned this too, they're struggling with the ability, a lot of them, to get out and find new business because they don't have the chance or they just don't have those skills or whatever. You know, so there's different skill sets that probably need to be added to that curriculum. But I'd say for the most part, I'd say it's on point. I think we need to clean it up a little bit, make it a little easier to obtain, maybe a little more affordable. And as sad as I hate to say this, but probably drop that whole 150-hour requirement down to 120 for everybody, even though I love my master's program. Let the ones that want that go after it. But let's get a bunch of young accountants back into the stream, because right now we're in pretty deep water with young accountants coming into the profession.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Gary, I'm just thinking a cynical person might say, you can do an audit at the push of a button right now. The technology is there. The automation is there. Who actually needs to know what double entry bookkeeping is? It's all done for you. So as you look at the accounting qualifications, how fit are they in your mind?
Yeah. I think they're, it's a process of continuous improvement. I think I will defend the AICPA in some of their thinking because members of firms have been involved in that thinking. How do we get people engaged earlier rather than later? And so they're coming up with programs where people can get that 150 hours over a period of time and still sit for the exam. Things are changing so fast, it's very difficult to keep the exam relevant. But as I mentioned, it's a team. It's not just CPAs. We have to think about the team that we're bringing in. How do we keep those people in? How do we keep them engaged? Most people want to remain employable. They don't care about employed as much as being employable. And that means their skills have to increase and they have to have opportunity. Well, I've seen people in tax and audit in accounting firms that have 20 years. That's 1 year experience 20 times. And that's not what I was looking for when I came into the profession. But I think this profession provides a multitude of opportunities, and the messaging we're sending to high school students and young students, even in elementary school, is not the right message. I think we have to send a message, and we can also do a better job of pre-testing of what people's unique abilities are and where they're going to really excel and be more targeted in our approach. Hmm. But it is a team sport today, and I think it's relevant what we're testing for, but it's changing, and we've got to continue to change this. And I think throughout my career, I've seen the CPA exam change multiple times, but not nearly enough would be my take on it.
Yeah. Let's talk about change then. I'm going to give you all a magic wand. Now, accountants, you're right, Sarah, they have changed. They have shown that they can innovate. Perhaps it's a little bit too slow for our liking because we're all visionaries. We want it to be better. But if I could give you all a magic wand or one wish for the accounting profession, and you can have at it with that. Bob, is there anything that jumps into your mind that if you could know would happen tomorrow, you'd use that wish of? What would it be?
Thanks for giving me the first answer on that. That's a tough one because there's so many options to go.
Okay. I'll give you two or three if you need it.
Oh, no. If there was a magic wand and you had to just wave that over the whole profession,
yeah.
What most of the professionals would like is that wand to automatically backfill the talent pool with 100,000 accountants. Then the problems would go away.
Okay.
But those problems will just be deferred. What really the magic wand needs to be is changing the mindset of how these firms approach, and not all firms, like what I'm going to stereotype, there's a lot of really sharp, progressive firms out there, changing the mindset of what their mission of what they're trying to do with those clients. Is it to fill an order, which is to get the tax return done or the accounting done or the audit, or is it to help the client really understand their business and shape their business? My vision of this whole future of this thing, accounting firms, if they're still in existence, some firm is going to be a place where the business owner goes to get everything. He or she will get his insurance, his HR, everything all out of one center. And they'll pay one big fee. It'll all be systemized using a lot of technology. But that would be my magic wand, would be to get these firms to figure out what are they really trying to support their clients with? What's the mission?
That's interesting. I wonder what that would look like in firms. But that certainly is a vision. Gary Boomer, if I gave you a magic wand, what would you wish for?
Well, I would play off of what Rob just said. Is I think the technology or the technical skills and the skill sets the market will drive those. It's the mindset of the entrepreneurs out there that we really have to work on. And if they'll just ask their clients what keeps them up at night, they'll have plenty of work to do. They have to change their model, though. Money is time, but time is not money. Think about that a little bit.
Are you talking about the partnership model and the structure of accounting practices?
Well, that's all part of it. But our profession has been based on values created by time. And that's
billable hour.
Billable hour, time is money.
Yeah. And we're leaving money on the table. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, the biggest problem most firms have is they have too many clients.
Yeah.
All right. I'm scared to give Val Steed a magic wand because this is going to be radical. But what have you got for us, Val? What would you change overnight?
You know, honestly, if we're talking a magic wand here, right, Rob? Real magic wand, right?
Go for it.
I would wave that wand and change the perception of the accounting profession and let these young people actually see, give them a vision of what this accounting profession really is. In that many cases, it is exciting. You know, there are so many places in the industry where CFOs, CEOs, your controllers, you can get involved in incredible industries. It doesn't have to be public practice. And even in public practice, you know, I think back when I was in public practice on the clients that I served and all the fantastic stories that I have to tell about the people I knew and the business I saw grow and do well are the ones that I saw fail and do, you know, make bad decisions and do poorly. And it is a great profession. It is not boring green eye shades and just bean counting in the closet. It is a fantastic profession. And that would be my magic wand, that I would want to change it for the young people, that high school students, once again, would look to this for a profession where they can not only make good money, but get into some real interesting positions and have a great career.
Yeah, amen to that. It's a shame we can't finish on that. We've got a couple more questions to go. Sarah, I'll come to you in a minute with your magic wand, but be primed and ready, all of you, for your top two predictions for the accounting profession in coming years. What would you bet your house on? What would you pull on black or red at the roulette table? But Sarah, you've got the magic wand. You've got the genie out of the bottle. You've got one wish. What would you go for?
Okay, so Val stole my headline. So mine is absolutely perception. Sorry. But I'm going to be a bit controversial and actually turn it exactly the opposite way. So actually, perceptions are perceptions for a reason very often. And I would like to wave the magic wand to actually change the reality. The reason that some people aren't attracted to our profession, we've got to accept, is because they don't see it as a diverse profession, open to everybody. They do see it, certainly has been historically in the UK when I started, definitely, male dominated, a certain age and a certain demographic of people. So I think my magic wand would be that the profession started attracting the talent it absolutely needs at every level by being really open to attracting a diverse talent pool. So we get that creativity, entrepreneurship, but in a really diverse manner. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to be at the very, very top of the profession. It means we need, and I think Gary said it several times, a whole team of players all operating in different roles. We've got fabulous bookkeepers, fabulous accounting technicians that add real value, real practical value to all businesses. So for me, change the perception by changing the reality.
Yeah, these are great answers. I can't help but feel there are so many wonderful stories in accounting that don't get told. In many ways, it's a well-kept secret, and we don't, as individuals, brag about it enough. Muhammad Ali, the boxer, used to say, it ain't bragging if you've done it. And the people on the sharp edge of accounting and advising are doing such amazing things. We don't talk about it enough. There's something called proximity bias, where you get so close to what you're doing yourself, you don't see it as remarkable. You see it actually as quite mundane and ordinary. But let's put that aside. Let's go into the last question here. I'm asking you for your top two predictions that you would be absolutely certain would come about. Val, I'm going to start with you on this one. So we're looking ahead maybe 2, 3, 5 years. What is absolutely guaranteed to happen in the world that we love so much?
Okay. Let's see. We're going to bet the farm on this, right?
Yeah. This is a going all in.
This is a big one. Well, I'm going to say one. My first prediction is that traditional services will still be selling.
Compliance is not
accountants
dead.
Accountants will still be doing, you know, bookkeeping. They'll be doing write-up. They'll be doing finance. They'll be doing taxes. They'll be doing compliance work. They'll be doing whatever. Different tools, different ways, more efficiently, whatever. I remember back in about 1999, I was on a committee, a big committee, and everyone was certain that in the next 5 years, if firms didn't get into a whole bunch of other different services, that tax, I think what was the statement I heard on this committee? Tax. Everyone will go online and do their taxes on the internet. Okay, so we won't be doing tax. And because of all this automation that's already out there with accounting systems, we don't need accountants to do that, and that they don't need any audit opinions anymore because people can see through all the electronic systems all the way back through. And so there will be no need for audit, no need for tax, no need for write up and bookkeeping. What was that, 25 years ago?
Okay.
I say those services will still be there. Okay. They'll still be there. Next prediction on my book, AI will not replace accountants. It's going to enhance what accountants do. Like I say, it is a tool. It's going to be something that's going to add a lot of value. And as Gary mentioned, the firms that adopt it figure out how to use it, just like the ones that have figured out how to use the cloud property, of how to figure out how to use communication and other tools properly and become good at it. And to be honest with you, if you ask Bob too, one of his answers today should have been about the multipliers that firms get when they sell their firm out if their firms are automated. You know, if they use the tools right, not only is their firm worth a whole lot more money, but their staff and people working with them are happy people, because this is a forward moving firm that's using current and modern tools, and they're going to be happy campers. That'll keep you from having to pay quite as much as well. So I say those two things.
Thank you. Thank you, Val. Bob, let's come to you on this one. What are you willing to put your house on? Two things over the next few years.
These are easy. One, a large number of firms are going to go private equity. And that's not like because this is a great prediction. It's because I'm in all these conversations. It's happening. There's not one firm in the top 500 in the U.S. that has not had multiple private equity conversations. In addition, as part of that, you're going to see a lot of other firms merge up because they can't address all the issues that we're talking about. it's beyond my bandwidth, my scope. So I'm going to put myself into a firm that's got some of these pieces in there. That's the first piece. The second is I'm going to go back to what I kind of shared a little earlier, but I'm going to put a cooler name on it. By the way, that's one of the things in our profession that's not cool. If you look at like social media and technology and stock options and sports and music, that's where kids want to go. It's much cooler than going to be an accountant. How many TV shows have been about accountants? Almost none. But okay, so the second part though, I'm going to call it the accounting big box, the big box store. Going back to, there's going to be an explosion of advisory in the accounting firms. The question is, will the accounting firm be gobbled up with advisory, or will the advisory firm get gobbled up into the accounting firm? But there's going to be a big box center. And, you know, just like walking into a Best Buy or whatever international you may have as your large, you know, store to buy every appliance and electronic need you've ever wanted, you're going to get that from the accounting firm. That's where I think they're going. And some of these firms are really pulled off pretty deep array of that already. But that's my thoughts. So
okay, we'll hold you to that. Sarah, where are we going? What are you putting all on black or all on red?
Yeah, I am a gambler. So first one, automation and the adoption of AI. Routine tasks, repetitive tasks are going to reduce. And the volume of use of everyday technology will increase. And do you know something? Within that will evolve. We've evolved in the last 3 industrial revolutions. We'll come through that and we'll work with that systems in a different way. That's the first one. And the second one, which is a flip to it really, is that the role of an accountant, I think, is going to broaden and the services provided by an accountant broaden. So I think we're going to expand into areas where people require ethical trust reporting in, sustainability, inclusion. And that's going to require just as big an evolving skill set as the AI, just in those power skills rather than in pure technology. They're my two.
Thank you. New skills for a new world. Gary, what have you got for us? Your top 2 surefire predictions.
Well, they've summed it up pretty well. I will tell you why I think AI is one of those top predictions, and that's based on Ray Kurzweil's law of accelerating returns. Val mentioned this has been going on for 50 years, really, in the profession. But if you double a penny every day for a month, it becomes significant on the 30th and 31st day, and AI is doing that right now. If you think where AI was a year ago, most people hadn't even heard of ChatGPT or downloaded. Now there are multiple versions of that. And in fact, I ran some of your questions through ChatGPT before we met today. And the answers that our panel have given are right on target. The only thing, we have better stories to tell than what ChatGPT does. And I think the second one, not to dwell on it too much, it's going to be more in strategic advisory and consulting services. And that's where the big box store, as Bob talked about. My concern is that financial planners may be more opportunistic here and may be acquiring accounting firms rather than accounting firms being able to manage financial planning. We're going to see change in ownership. And I think we'd all agree on that. Private equity is going to have a big impact. Not every firm is going to be attractive to private equity. If I'm going to invest, do I want to invest in someone that doesn't have a vision, doesn't have a plan, and has ignored technology and just thrown labor at it? I don't think so. So that's where some of these firms are really going to struggle and go out of business. Their clients are valuable, though.
Yeah.
If they can move those clients over to another institution or entity.
Well, I'm glad that I brought you all on. I could have gone to ChatGPT and got all of these answers, but you're absolutely right. The store isn't. We've got another 15 of these panels with so many different stakeholders, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of nuances. I just want a few seconds from each of you, and I'm asking this question as we finish up. Why is this a good time to be in accounting? Is this a good time to be in the accounting game? Sarah, what do you think?
I think we've summed it up over the last hour. There is so much change out there, which means so much opportunity. And I think we've got the opportunity to carve out our profession in a really different way that adds massive value to business, economy, and society if we get it right.
Yeah. Bob, for you, good time to be in accounting?
Awesome time, I think. To me, it's not boring anymore. It used to be boring. It's transformational and cool. We just are getting back to it. We're not really selling that message really well. But personally, think about advisors involved in these industries. Accountants are deep. I mean, they got nothing but upside potential here.
That's great. Gary, for you, good time to be in accounting?
Yes. And it goes back to the Renaissance period. Okay. Accountants were very important in the Renaissance. They're going to be very important in change management, because if you have a financial background and understand how businesses work financially, then you can expand into all other areas of your unique ability.
Yeah.
So it takes some discipline to get there, but those that have the discipline and are willing to invest in themselves, I think are going to be very well prepared for the future.
Wow. Sounds like accounting and finance professionals hold all the keys. Valstein, for you, good time to be in accounting. Final words.
Absolutely. And everyone has such great comments, really. And I'll tell you, if I was in young, starting in accounting, I would absolutely go headlong right into this wealth management area that we touched on just a bit today. I would focus a niche. I'd get a firm. I'd focus in on wealth management. Let me tell you right now, there is so much money to be made at that higher level going at it in the accounting profession. So there's so many opportunities. Yes, this is a great profession.
Yeah, money to be made, differences to be made, a future to shape, lots of people to help. Accountants are very well placed. Thank you so much, all of you, for your passion and your insights, your contributions, and your stories today. That's been exceptional.